Amen. Praise the Lord. Eternal security. Amen. Nothing's going to separate us. Praise God. Well, in the preacher's absence, he's asked Brother Caldwell to preach to us this morning. So I'm going to ask him to come on and preach to us.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord. What a blessing to be here at Landmark. Always a joy to come to this place. We always love this place. We call it a home away from home. And I sure enjoy it. Thank you so much for your stand on the Word of God. Thank you for not changing. And I just want to say thank you for that. In a day of change, it's good to see somebody who's still sticking with the old paths, and we're glad for that and sure grateful for it. We're going to be in the book of Joel this morning. The book of Joel, I don't know how often you've been there in the book of Joel, but some of these college students might take them a while to find it. It's in the Old Testament, Anthony, okay? So just make sure that you know that. And it's okay to laugh in church. You know, the Bible says a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Good to see some friends out there. Good to see the Howard family here. What a blessing to see them. They're all the way up there in Martinsburg, West Virginia also. And so it's good to have them here today. Just saw them when I was standing up here. And so they came all the way to Florida to listen to me preach. What a blessing. Thank you so much for coming, and what a joy it is to be here. I do want to thank Pastor Parsons for the opportunity to preach. I know he's not here, but he's a dear friend of mine, and I sure love him. Love your preacher, and love Dr. Carter. Just be praying for him. And you know, if he wasn't in pain, he'd be in church. And so just be praying for Dr. Carter, if you would, please, as well. And pray for our church back home. And I know it'll, we sure love what's going on here. That's why we send our young people here to college. And we sure appreciate it. We have three of them here at college this year, and more probably coming next year. And what a blessing. If you found the book of Joel, say amen. Amen. All right, let's stand together, if you would, please, as we look in the Word of God. I did ask the Lord, I don't know how many of you preachers have ever done this, but I actually spent some time this morning asking God not to let me preach this message. And you say, why'd you do that? Because it's not an easy message. It's not one that preachers like to preach, because it's basically puts our feet to the fire. And I want to try to, honestly, I wanted to preach a message just about the love of God and encouraging you today and all that. And there is encouragement in this passage of scripture, but I want to just let you know, you better buckle up this morning, okay? I'm just telling you ahead of time. And you say, well, preacher, I didn't come to church to get my toes stepped on. Then you came for the wrong reasons, because you ought to come to church expecting a life change, right? When we come here, we ought to expect God to do something in our heart. And if you came this morning expecting nothing, you'll leave with nothing. But if you came expecting a change, guess what you'll find? You'll find change. And we want to help you. Not changing in doctrine, but changing for the better to satisfy. In Joel chapter number 2, verse number 1, we're going to read this, and then we'll let you be seated, and we'll get right into the message this morning. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. As I read that verse, the Lord did something in my heart, and I want you to, if you're in the habit of underlining in your Bible, I want you to underline a phrase here. The Bible says this, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and then if you have a pen, would you mark these words, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. I'm going to preach a message this morning that the Lord laid on my heart entitled this, it's time to sound the alarm. It's time to sound the alarm. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for the day. Thank you for the time we have to be here today. Holy Spirit of God, I ask you please to meet with us in a special way. Lord, do only what you can do. Lord, I just want to be your mouthpiece this morning. Just want to be your servant, your vessel. And Lord, I just pray that if there's anything inside of me that would hinder the Spirit from moving today, that you'll cleanse my heart of it. Lord, I pray that we'll come today, Lord, with open hearts to your word. Lord, that we'll leave here encouraged and challenged and changed. Lord, if there's anyone here that's not saved, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you as their Savior. Lord, if there's anyone that's on the fence, maybe ready to wave the white towel or the white flag to surrender, Lord, as far as to give up on your word and on your work, Lord, I pray that you'll renew their strength today. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and glory for all that's been said and done, or that all that will be said and done. Thank you for all the buses that ran, all the Sunday school teachers, all the junior church workers, all the nursery workers. Lord, every aspect of this ministry, Lord, we want to give you glory and honor for it. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. When we think of an alarm, it's used for several purposes. Some, it's used to alert you to something that is wrong, to let you be aware that maybe someone has broke into a car or broke into a home or something. We have alarms for those purposes. We also have alarms because we're sleeping and we need to be reminded that it's time to wake up. There's alarms that just remind us of upcoming events and things like that that are in our life. And when we read through the Bible, we know that the Lord's coming soon, isn't he? And the way that we look at the world today, we realize that there's a lot of things that are coming to pass today that we know the day of the Lord's at hand. We know that at any moment he could come back. And I hope you're excited about that. I hope you're looking forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And hopefully there's not some things in your life that you would have to hang your head in shame when, if the Lord did return today and you stood before him. Hopefully he could say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But you know, we ought to be looking for the coming of the Lord. He is our blessed hope, isn't he? And I've seen that here, the phrase all over the place, the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And we ought to be looking for that. We ought to be looking for the return of the Lord. And in this passage of scripture, it says this, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble for the day of the Lord, for it is nigh, or for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. As I read this, I began to think about what Joel was trying to portray here as the Lord put on his heart to write these things and told him to write these things. And I began to go back and research some things about why is it time to blow a trumpet? Why is it time to sound an alarm? And if we apply those things today, they really fit, because I want you to see some of the things that took place in Joel chapter number one. But I want to think about that phrase today, it's time to sound the alarm. You understand that you are the alarm that's supposed to sound. You are the trumpet that's supposed to blow. I am the trumpet. I am the alarm. We're all that. If we're God's people, we're supposed to let people know that it's time to wake up, that there is something wrong that needs attention. And we have to look back at what the Bible says here in this passage. If you look at chapter number one, we're just going to read a couple verses of scripture here, and I'm going to just kind of set a stage for you and help you a little bit on why it's time to sound the alarm in the day and age in which we live. If you look at chapter number one and verse number one, the word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all the inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children and tell their children another generation. Now, this means that Joel's trying to let them know that this message that's coming is very important. It's not just supposed to stop with the generation that he's talking to, but it's supposed to go to the next generation and the generation to follow, to your children, to your grandchildren, to your great-grandchildren, to all of those. And that message is the same with us today, that it ought not to stop with us. It ought to continue to go forward. Look what he said, verse 4, that which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the canker worm eaten, and that which the canker worm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Look what it says, awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. And then he goes down and he begins to say all these things about the field and all this. Look at verse 10, the field is wasted, the land mourneth. For the corn is wasted, and the new wine is dried up, and the oil languishes. Look what he said. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley. And here it is, because the harvest of the field is perished. Listen, it's time to sound the alarm this morning, church, because the land is perishing. If you read chapter number one of the book of Joel, it talks about the desolation that is there, the desolation of the book of Israel, and the land is perishing all around us. We sing the song, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. But the problem is there's a lot more people going to hell today because God's church is asleep. And he's saying, hey, wake up. It's time to wake up and understand, sound the alarm. The land is perishing. And we have to let them know that there is hope in this dying world. I was listening to the songs that were being sung this morning, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And that brings excitement in my heart. And we sung about amazing grace, how sweet the sound that save a wretch like me. And you know, the problem is, and I'm not trying to be mean to you today, church, but I feel like this, we sit there and we just go. When we're talking about, we get to live because he's alive. And we have a risen Savior that's in the world today. And there's some things that we're looking at here. And I was saying it's time to sound the alarm. Why? Because the harvest of the field is perished. The Bible says this, the vine is dried up, the fig tree languished, the pomegranate tree and the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered. They're dying. Why? And here's another phrase. Why is the harvest perishing? Why is all this stuff going on? Look what it says at the end of the passage. This is not my words. These are God's words. Look what he says. Because. That means he's giving you the answer. Look what he said. Joy is withered away from the sons of men. So why is the land perishing today? I'll tell you why. Because those of us that are supposed to have the joy of the Lord in our heart have allowed that joy to wither away. We don't have the joy of the Lord anymore. We sing about rescue the perishing, because he lives, amazing grace, victory in Jesus, and all these things, and we don't even get a buzz in our heart. We sit there in the pew, we've allowed the charismatics to steal our shout. We've allowed people to get all excited out here and all this emotionalism and all this other stuff. But we have been saved by the almighty grace of God. And we ought to get excited about that. Let the joy in our heart once again realize we're a child of the King. We're not on our way to hell. We need to be excited about that. Listen, if we had joy, they would want joy. If we had the joy in our heart, the people would see that joy. You know what? Joy is contagious. When people get excited about things, people just say, I'm excited. I don't even know why I'm excited. I don't even know what's going on, but everybody else is excited, so I'm going to be excited. There's people go to games sometimes, they're cheering. They're even cheering for the wrong team because people are cheering. Why? It's just contagious. You know why some people don't want salvation? Because we act like we were given a death sentence when we got saved. I can't do this and I can't do that and I have to do this. I don't get to have fun anymore. You know what? The most fun I've ever had is being a Christian. But it's time to sound the alarm today, because there's a world out there dying and going to hell, and they're looking for something, and we have exactly what they need. We have Jesus. We know what he did. He died on the cross. He shed his blood so that we could live. He rose again, offering life victoriously. And if you'll receive it, he said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast him out. I'm still glad for a whosoever will gospel, but we need to get our joy back again. We'd be excited about it. You know, it's sad that you may say, well, preacher, it's not dignified to shout in church. How many times we talk about where he says, raise a holy hand to the Lord. Right. Praise ye the Lord. Praise. Read the book of Psalms. You can't read the book of Psalms and not realize about praise. Right. Praising's okay. It's sad that you'll shout glory to God when a basketball player plays a game, and you'll shout and you'll wave your hands and you'll stand up and you'll do the wave and you'll do all that other stuff. But somebody starts talking about Jesus and what he's done for you, you just sit there and go, Listen, I'm not talking about getting crazy. I'm not talking about doing things that don't really, but when somebody talks about Jesus and what he's done for you, when this book is open, this blessed old book that we have, this King James Bible that we believe, that we read, we look at it, we ought to have joy. We ought to get excited about it. You college students ought to be excited. Did you have people want to train you for the ministry? Landmark Baptist Church, you ought to be excited that you've had a preacher over the years that has stood right. Now Dr. Parsons is here and he's preaching right. Nothing's changing according to that, but you ought to get excited. The day of the Lord's coming. He can come today. We say, uh-oh. When I was younger, I used to ask the Lord not to come back so I could get married. And then once I got married, Lord, don't come back till we have children. And then my son came along and eats so much, I'm like, Lord, please come back. Would you hurry, okay? But you know what? We ought to get excited by the fact that the one who loves us more than anybody else is coming back one day. And they said, this is time to sound the alarm. Why? Because the land is perishing. You guys have soul winning program. Praise the Lord for that. You go out and knock on doors, try to tell people how to go to heaven. And that's a blessing because you invest in what Jesus came for. To seek and to save that which is lost. When you see that person get saved, you know what it ought not to be. Well, somebody got saved on our bus route today. No, it ought to be a praise God. Somebody was brought out of the muck and mire of this world. They were picked up, set their feet upon a rock, established their going, put a new song in their heart, even praise unto their God. You ought to get excited about that. Sad that we get more excited that, hey, Thanksgiving break's coming and we get to have a break from school. Listen, I know you need a break. Teachers need a break, and praise the Lord for that. But you know what? There's so many times we take vacations from God because it's just so tough. No, we have the privilege of serving the Lord. And he said, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. He's saying, hey, pay attention and wake up. Why? The land has perished. Why? Because your joy is withered. Yeah. Your joy is withered. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are saved in here today? Would you raise your hand? Keep your hand up high. You're not ashamed of it, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, right? Let me ask you this. Are you joyful? Are you joyful because you're saved? You can put your hand down. You've been bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Are you excited that you're saved today? Is there joy in your heart that you don't have to spend 1 second in hell? Man, we ought to be excited about that, right? People ought to know. We go outside and somebody sees, how's your day? Man, praise God, I'm on my way to heaven. But you don't understand, preacher. We just had some bad things happen in our life. Well, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Listen, we have the comforter living inside of us. And though tragedy comes and though valleys come in our way, we ought to just be excited and have the joy of the Lord in our heart. Have the joy of the Lord. You know why a lot of people turn into the charismatic movement? Because they're excited. They're excited. They're wrong doctrinally, but they're excited. People just like that excitement. Now listen, I think sometimes there ought to be soberness and understanding that, hey, the Lord's trying to get your attention. But you ought to be excited by the fact that you have a loving God that still knocks at your heart's door and tries to draw you back in and say, hey, pay attention, wake up, sound the alarm, you're falling asleep, let's wake up. And we're good at talking about people falling asleep. We have some of our college students here that they fall asleep in church, you know, because they're tired and they work. And I tease some of the guys from our church that come. I'm like, make sure you're not falling asleep in church. I'll make you stand up in front of everybody, okay? But see, what's happened is we've fallen asleep on the job. God's given us a job to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why should we sound the alarm today? The desolation is there. We read about the desolation in chapter 1 all the way through chapter 2. In verse 11, it talks about the land perishing, all the things that are going wrong, all those things that are happening. He said, because the joy is withered. It's dried up. People don't want Christianity today. They don't want what the church has to offer them. Why? Because our joy is gone. My hope today is that at the end of this service, or even right now in your own heart, you get joy back. Get the joy of your salvation back, the joy of serving the Lord back, the joy of the scriptures back. Just get the joy back in your heart. Yeah. Joy is our strength. You understand that? Yeah. The Bible teaches that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Yeah. Which tells me if we've lost our joy, we're not walking with the Lord. Tells me if our joy is gone, we're not spending time with Jesus, because he is our joy. And when we're not walking with him, our joy is gone. The first reason that we need to sound the alarm is because the land is perishing. Secondly, is God's people, the Lord's people, have become pathetic. You say, preacher, that's not very nice. Don't we let every little thing bother us? Well, the pews aren't comfortable enough. Or it's too hot. It's too cold. Preacher didn't come by and shake my hand. I was in the hospital. I didn't tell anybody. But I was in the hospital, nobody called me. We find every excuse in the world not to do something. The preacher preaches hard about waking up and paying attention. And you say, well, that preacher's just, all he likes to do is yell. He talks about tithing. You say, oh, he's a money-hungry preacher. We find every excuse after excuse after excuse of why we can't do what God has called us to do. Well, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we've gotten so pathetic. We say, well, Lord, I'm just not good at speaking to people. It's an excuse, isn't it? Yeah. Because if you read your Facebook page, you don't have any problem talking. You like to talk about what you want to talk about, what your agenda is. But he said to go tell everybody about him. Yeah. And we make excuses for why we can't do it. Make excuses for why we can't get up and read our Bible every morning, because I work all night and I'm so tired all the time, and having to read through the Bible, I just don't understand it. Yeah. It's what we say, don't we? Yeah. Yeah. That's why they're trying to change new versions of scripture out there, because they just can't understand it. No, I'll tell you why they can't understand it. They don't study it. You can read the Bible and not understand it, but you can't study it and not understand it. Because he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And who is the author of the Bible? God. Who lives inside of us? The Holy Spirit, when we're saved. Who is God, by the way. And we have the author of the book living inside of us. Let's quit making excuses that we can't understand the scriptures and just be real today and say, listen, I just don't study it. We've gotten so pathetic in our churches today that we just say, you know what? Well, I'm just going to leave that to those college students. That's what God's called them to do. You understand, church, it's our job. We got to sound the alarm and let you wake up and realize we have been so pathetic over the last. It's so sad to me that Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons and all those that have a false doctrine and a false gospel do more witnessing in this society than we do. You know what? In our town, there's several Baptist churches. You know, I've not had one time a Baptist church knock on my door. Not once. Throughout the time my wife and I have been married in 22 years, I don't think I've had one Baptist church knock on my door. You say, that's sad. I've had plenty of Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my door. I've had plenty of Mormons knock on my door. Why don't we? Well, that's just, preacher, you know, it's just controversial. We shouldn't be controversial. You understand that scripture's controversial. The truth is controversial in the society we live in today, right? Yeah. Look all around you. Evil is good. Good is evil. Is there not something worth fighting for? Is there not something worth standing up and shouting and being a trumpet and sounding an alarm and saying, hey, the world is in trouble. Let's quit being so pathetic and saying we can't do it and realize God's called you to do it. God's called you to get out there and be a witness. God's called you to be a light in this lost and dying world. We can't make excuses for why we don't do it other than the fact that we're being lazy. Yeah. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand my health situation. God knows your health situation. Right. You say, well, I can't get out and walk. You can pray for those that are. You can mail gospel tracts to people. We can do whatever we want to do. We just make excuses all the time. Everybody has them. I'm not just, listen, this is something the Lord dealt with my heart about. You know what? There's times I say, I'm tired. I know this is a busy ministry. I talked to one of the college students the other day. He said, I've been up for over 24 hours because we had this, you know, going on. I had night security and then bus visitation and then went out to help somebody move and do this and came back. You know, I understand we get tired. But I'll tell you this, we can't ever stop doing what God's called us to do, even when we're tired. We got to keep pressing on and doing what the Lord tells us to do. We look down through, he said, be ashamed. Oh, how? He said, and he goes through all these things. He said, because the joy is withered away. I thought, man, we have lost our joy so much. And it's time to sound the alarm and blow the trumpet today and realize there's a battle in front of us. We're not in a picnic. You understand? He didn't tell us put on the whole armor of God to go eat supper. He said, put on the whole armor of God so you may be able to stand against the evil day and having done all to stand. But we've gotten so pathetic that we just say, well, God, I just can't do it. Aren't you glad he didn't say, I can't die on the cross? Aren't you glad he didn't say, well, they're just not worth it to me? Aren't you glad that he didn't just say, well, you know what? I don't feel like being beaten. I don't feel like having the cat of nine tails go across my back. I don't feel like having my beard ripped out of my face. I don't feel like doing all that. No, he looked beyond all of that. He looked beyond our faults and saw our need and realized we were on our way to hell. And without him dying on the cross and shedding his blood and being buried and rising again, there was no hope and no help for us. And so he became sin for us so that who knew no sin, so that we could go to heaven. And he said, listen, go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we just say, Lord, I can't do it. Let's quit being pathetic and just stand up and say, hey, I'm going to be that trumpet. I'm going to sound the alarm. I'm going to let people know hell is real. Because it's not what Hollywood has painted it to be. Hell is a place of torment, a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're not going to float around in purgatory one day. You're not going to be reincarnated into a little squirrel. Not going to happen. If you die without Jesus, you are going to open your eyes in the torments of hell. But Jesus loved you. And God loved you. And took your place and died for you. And he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I saw a lot of people raise their hand today that they know the Lord. They've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We ought to get excited about that, have our joy back. But if you're lost here today, listen, today is the day of salvation. Today's the day of salvation. And if you're saved, let's make sure that we're not the ones that are causing the problem. We're not the ones asleep on the job. We're not the ones that are saying, Lord, I can't do it. You just say, Lord, here am I. Use me. The Bible says that there was a time, Jesus said, I sought for a man among them that would make up a hedge and stand in the gap. But I found none. I hope that's not the testimony that he says when your name is brought up. Well, I wanted them to stand in the gap, but they made too many excuses. I wanted them to make up the hedge, but they had a reason why they couldn't. He couldn't find any. I'm glad for Isaiah, though, that said, Lord, here am I. Use me. God, I'm not the most talented. I don't have more degrees than that person does. But, Lord, I'm a willing vessel to be used. And let's just say, Lord, whatever you can get out of me, get out of me. It's time to sound the alarm because the land was perishing, because the Lord's people have gotten pathetic. But I'll tell you this, there are the Lord's promises of hope. When you read through Joel, you find this, the desolation of the nation of Israel. You find the exhortation to the people. And in chapter 3, you find the restoration of the people. Why? Why do they get restored? Why is all this? Because he tells them to turn to him. Look at chapter 2. What's the fix, preacher? What can we do? What can we do? Look what he said here in Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with some of your heart, with a portion of it. No, he said, with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. He said, turn unto me with all your heart. You know what that is? That's repentance. That's getting our heart right before God. It's saying the things that I haven't done for you, God, I'm going to push those away. I'm going to turn my heart towards you and give you everything. He said, with fasting and with all those things. Why? Because that's the key. He said, and rend ye your hearts and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of a great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. Verse 15, blow the trumpet of Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children. Look at those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride of her clothes. You know what he said? Not just the old people, but from kids all the way up. Let's turn to the Lord. Turn our heart back to him. And he said, you know what? When you do that, there's hope in the land. There's hope for the future. You know what? I am not one that believes that revival is done. I believe God can still send revival. How does he do it? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, that's you, that's me, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, he said this, and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let me ask you a question. Has God gone back on his promise? No, he has not. God wants to heal our land. God wants to heal it. The dried up, withered society, he wants to heal it. The perishing society, he wants to heal it. So what has to happen? God's people have to turn their hearts away from the world and turn their hearts to God and give him everything inside of us, because he's given us everything through salvation. And he said, because God is gracious and merciful. You know what happens when we won't do that? Look what it said, verse 17, let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? You know what I think happens is we talk about how much we love the Lord. We talk about how much we care about the things of God. We talk about how much we want to see God do, but we never go do it. We never go say anything. And you know what they say? Where's their God? Where's their God? But he tells us to turn with your whole heart. The Bible says this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. He didn't say he wants some of your heart, he wants all of your heart. You read through the scriptures, he said, son, give me thine heart. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? Give me thine heart. Give your heart to God. Why? Because he can use it and make it what he wants it to be. And have joy in the fact that he wants to use you and that you can be used just to be a vessel that points people to the Lord. You can be a light that's set on a hill that people can see it in this darkness of this world. Amen. Man, I'm glad for the reputation and the testimony of Landmark Baptist Church. But listen, don't let it die. Don't let the joy be withered away in your heart so that the ground dries up. We got to have fresh water every day. The water of the word that cleanses our hearts, we need that. Through repentance is where we receive blessing. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance, you got to have. We have to have repentance, a turning away from. I need to turn away from the world and turn to the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do, right? Have you not been bought with a price? He said, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You belong to him. You know what? God just wanted me to be an alarm today to tell you, hey, the world's perishing. Flip on the news for about 30 seconds and you find out what's going on. Most of it's a lie, but, you know, read between the lines. They make up whatever and embellish things. But we're in trouble. Go outside and walk down the street and look. It's perishing. People are dying spiritually because they don't know God. They have a form of godliness, a lot of religious people, but they're just like Cornelius. They're religious, but they don't know God. They've never received salvation. They go through religious ritualism just like the Jews did, but their heart's far from him. You know what he says it's time for us to do, Harris? Sound the alarm. Blow the trumpet. Let them all know that hell's real, but heaven's real too. And that Jesus loves them. And he cares about them. You know what? I had one of our young people in our church just a week or so ago got to lead somebody to Christ. And he came to me and he said, preacher, you've been telling me how exciting it is to lead somebody to the Lord. And I didn't even really realize how exciting it was because I'd never done it. He said, but when I saw them get saved, he said, I was just excited about it. I was excited about it. And we ought to be. You know, heaven rejoices over one sinner that comes to repentance, that gets saved. We ought to get excited about it. Listen, I'm not telling you to act foolish and do cartwheels down the aisle. I'm not trying to tell you to do all that. But listen, what I am telling you, it's okay to say amen. It's okay to say glory to God. It's okay to say praise the Lord. When they start singing those songs about us being bought with the blood of Christ, you can say, man, praise God, I'm saved. I'm a child of the King. You can get excited about that. Because if you get the joy back, others will want what you have. Others will want what you have. They don't want deadness. They're already dead. They want something that's alive. Something that has excitement to it. And you know what? This book is exciting. It's exciting. Why? Because I get to know him. I get to see who he is and what he's done for me. And I get to rejoice in the fact not only am I saved, but I have the opportunity to serve. That one day I get to stand before him and have the opportunity to maybe hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and give things back to him because of all that he's done for me. And I ought to get excited and say, Lord, where can I help? What can I do? You say, well, preacher, the only thing I can do is vacuum a floor. You know what that does? That helps. It gets involved because you're doing it with the right heart. You say, man, I want to make sure this place is clean so when people come in, they feel comfortable. We all have a purpose in the work of God. And let's get excited about it. Well, preacher, my job's to clean the bathroom. You ought to get excited about it. Well, then bus kids, you don't know what they did to that place. Get excited. There's bus kids at church. Amen. There's people coming in that are hearing the gospel. You say, man, if I can plunge a toilet and make things okay, then praise God for it. Yeah. Get excited about it. Well, the air condition broke and we're in Florida. You know how many times people walk across miles and miles in other countries just to hear somebody preach? And if they don't preach for 3 hours, they're saying they think they got cheated. Preacher here preaches 45 minutes and we want to stone him. It's time to wake up. What happened to the days where daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ? What happened to those times? What happened to Pentecost Sundays? What happened to the revivals of old? I'll tell you what's happened is we've let our joy die. Let's get our joy back. Get excited about it. You say, man, God's called me to be a missionary. You ought to be the most excited missionary you can be. God's called you to be a member here at Landmark Baptist Church, brought you here. You ought to be the best excited member. When preacher gets up and says, turn your Bibles, you ought to say, he ought to think that something's wrong with you. Man, he just said amen because we opened the Bible. My goodness. Listen, just be excited by the fact that you came here to meet with God. And when the word of God is open, you think, man, Lord, give me what you got. Lord, give it to me. I need to do better for you today. Show me what it is that you want me to do. And when he tells you, just say, yes, sir, and go. Rather than saying, well, Lord, you know, that's just not up my alley. I can't work with these guys around here on maintenance. I can't do that. They pick on me way too much, and God, I just can't do that. Making excuse after excuse after excuse of why we can't serve the Lord. Oh, don't worry, Moses did it. Lord, I'm not good at speaking. Okay, I'll give you Aaron. Aaron didn't get to talk much. Why? Because God empowered Moses to do what he called him to do. You understand? Quit making excuses for our weaknesses and realize in our weaknesses, Christ is made strong. And just rejoice in that. And let our joy get back and get excited about being a child of the King once again. I tell our church often, you can ask the kids that go to our church, I stand up there and I say, would you all take your bottom lip and just pick it up a little bit? Because you're going to trip as you walk down the aisle. Acting like, man, you don't understand all the problems I'm going through. Christ understands. Because we kind of do Christ an injustice just to say he bore your sins on the cross. Because if you read through Isaiah 53, it says this, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. All of that was placed on him. That's why he can say, cast all your cares upon me, for he careth for you. Take my yoke. It's easy. My burden's light. Why? I've already carried it. You weren't designed to. I am. Give it to me. And rejoice that you have a God that'll help bear your burdens so that you can fulfill the law of Christ. And as we help each other through prayer, I saw that theme, holding the rope. Holding the rope. You know what your job, dude? Just grab a hold of it. This tug of war game, guess what? Pull against evil and wickedness and just say, let's all go the same direction. You know, if everybody here at Landmark Baptist Church grabbed the rope and started pulling towards the things of God, a lot would get accomplished. A lot would get accomplished. You know what? We ought to be joyful at it. We play tug of war with the teenagers and it's an exciting time. Those kids are giving it everything they've got, especially when you say you teen boys are going to go against the men. Those boys are like, here we go. Man, they get excited and they're pulling it with everything they got, pulling with everything they got. Why? Because they want to win. They want to win. They lose most of the time, but they're going to win. They want to win. You know what? When we understand we're on the winning side. We'll grab that rope and just pull towards Jesus and get excited by the fact we're part of the team. Get excited and have the joy. Don't let the joy be withered up because the ground will become desolate and die if you don't have joy. Get joyful. Sound the alarm. Blow the trumpet. Wake up. Why? Because people are perishing. The church has gotten pathetic, but the Lord does promise hope. Last verse I want to read to you. Verse 21 of Joel chapter 2. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. The Lord will do great things. You know what? You get joyful and just start serving the Lord. Start doing everything he tells you to do. Quit making excuses for why you can't and just go forward and do what God said to do. The Lord will do great things. The Lord will do great things. You want to be part of the great things God's going to do? Then let's just wake up and get involved and just say, here am I, Lord. Use me. With your head bowed, eyes closed today, maybe you're here and you're lost. You don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I want to ask you this. Will you trust him today? If you die without Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity in hell forever. But God did not want you to do that. He gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to be that payment for sin. And he said that if you'll believe with your heart in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can ask him to be your Savior. He said, you shall be saved. Is there anyone here today that say, Pastor Cole, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I do not know heaven would be my home. Preacher, pray for me. Is there anybody like that at all? You'd slip your hand up and be honest about it. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Anyone at all? I'm not sure that I'm saved, preacher. Would you put your hand up and put it right back down? Not sure of heaven, but I'd like to know. Then listen, a lot of folks raised their hand that they were saved. Are you living in the joy of your salvation? Or has it dried up? As we stand to our feet and they begin to sing a song of invitation, would you step out and do business with the Lord today? Get your joy back. Get involved. Quit making excuses for why you can't. Step out and just say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to get my joy. And live in that joy, because the land is perishing. Quit with the excuses. And just say, Lord, here am I. Use me.